Autumn Miles back with you, Autumn Miles Show. How you doing out there? So glad you're joining us today. It is the week of Mother's Day. P.S. It's Mother's Day coming up. Make sure you go get your mama a card. Don't be like that guy or girl that's at Target at 9:30 Saturday night picking out the skimped over cards. Go today where there's an abundance of cards. Get your mom something special. She deserves it. Mother's Day is like, I mean, for moms, it's like Christmas, okay? It's amazing. I love it when my kids come in and I have all the crafts and everything that they have made me. And some of them they have to explain because I'm like, what is this? But it's so precious because it comes from their heart. We are talking about perspectives of motherhood today. There's a lot of, this week, a lot of different perspectives out there. Before we get into our guest today, who is an incredible human being. I want to just welcome you to look at our social media. That's how we hear from you guys. You know, a lot of people don't do the call thing anymore. We go to social media. Who is this person? What do they know? Do they really love Jesus? What does our family look like? I'm always interested in what people's families look like. I may stalk you to find out what your family looks like. But that's what we're there. Autumn Miles on Facebook, Autumn Miles on Twitter. I don't do much with Twitter. I probably should beef that up a little bit. Instagram, you can see my family on Instagram. Would love for you to follow. Thank you. Thank you for following us. YouTube, we also have that. We also have podcasts that you can catch our shows. Back to our show today. Now, this guy, I told you yesterday, these people are my people. The ones that we're interviewing this week, all of these women that we're having on to give a perspective of motherhood, all have been mothers in one way or another and have a unique perspective. Lisa Holmesley, we're having her on today. She is going to talk about infertility. Now, let me just go ahead and welcome her on the show so we can start some dialogue. She has been one of my best friends, biggest cheerleaders, biggest supporters for, my goodness, probably 8 years. We are very good friends with her and her husband. Welcome to the show, Lisa Holmesley.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good, friend. How are you?
Good. Now Lisa lives over there in Phoenix. Is it like 118 degrees there yet, Lisa? Are we good?
Not yet. It's actually like a beautiful, probably 70-something-ish. It was beautiful. I sat out on my porch this morning and read and prayed, and oh my gosh, I love it here. This is the time of year to live here. So
I'll tell you when it's not the time of year to live here. August. That's when you it's not fun to live in Phoenix. It's ridiculous, the heat.
Pretty much May through September is when you don't be here.
Eddie and I lived in Phoenix for a couple of years, and I had my son August 20th in Phoenix, and it was like 118 degrees that day. It was crazy. So anyway, she's coming to us all the way from Phoenix. Now, you have such a unique perspective on motherhood. When I met you, Lisa, I saw a mom. I saw a maternal, very motherly heart. Mm-hmm. Yet God had not placed children in your home yet. You mothered a lot of people when we first met 8 years ago. And I was almost scared to ask, are you going to have kids? Like, what's going on there? But eventually, of course, I did. And you have quite a testimony. But we get so many questions on infertility here on the show. We've gotten multiple questions. Please talk about infertility. It's so difficult. Something you want so bad. Why is God keeping it? Yeah. And so when this show came up, I knew exactly who I was going to call. So Lisa, let's hear your story. Tell me a little bit about your husband and just the desire to have kids and that kind of thing. Give us a little background on yourself.
Sure. So my husband, I have known him since probably about the fifth grade. I had a big, huge crush on him. I would see him at like church camps, that kind of stuff. And my friend and I would sit and like little schoolgirls and just like, talk about how cute he was and big blue eyes and all this stuff. And, but we grew up about 30 minutes apart from each other. So we would just see each other at different church events, things like that. until high school. We started dating our junior year of high school, and we have been together since then. So we actually just celebrated 20 years being together. We will celebrate our 15-year wedding anniversary this coming June. We dated about 5 years before we got married, but because I was 16, he was 17 before we got married. So we had a nice long dating and engagement. But basically, I've always wanted kids. I've always wanted kids. As a young girl, I remember wanting children so badly. To the point where I thought beyond just having children, I was dreaming about being a grandma. And that seems so weird.
Wow.
Interesting. Just to be like junior high or thinking about being a, 75-year-old grandma with grandkids running everywhere like that. But that was my dream. That was the desire of my heart. And so I knew it was always something I wanted to do. I was in school to be a daycare teacher. I love children.
Now, okay, so you and your husband met and dated for 5 years and always wanted kids. Now, we joke about when we get together because your husband is me, but a boy. We're very, very similar. And you are my husband, but a girl. So, so there's an interesting dynamic there. A lot of fun. But you've always had this desire to, it's interesting that you say be a grandma. That's so interesting. but also be a mom. And there was a couple of just physical setbacks that you had. Tell us a little bit about the physical setbacks that you have.
Sure. So I found out when I was about 19, I started just having some health complications. And through going to the doctor and everything, we discovered that I had something called polycystic ovarian syndrome. And basically, it makes it very, very difficult to, among other things, it makes it very difficult to have children. It didn't make it impossible. And so I wasn't really, and I wasn't really sure all that it meant when they first told me about it. I probably didn't really understand it. Like I said, I found out when I was about 19. I probably didn't really get all that it meant until I was maybe around 23 or 24 when I fully understood and actually talked to the doctors out of just concern for what we weren't seeing. When I got married when I was 22, and we, we chose to try to wait initially because my husband was still in school. So we decided to wait on children for at least a year or two. But about our second year in marriage, we stopped preventing anything from happening. And several years in, we still weren't seeing anything. We weren't seeing anything positive. We weren't seeing any positive pregnancy tests, positive ovulation tests. Nothing was coming up positive for us.
And I feel like, let me just stop you for a second. This happens all the time, okay? Yeah. You stop birth control and you're like, okay, now's the time and we have these great dreams and now's the time to get pregnant and it's what we plan. And we say, okay, God, here you go. I'm ready. And then 2 years later, no baby, no nothing. Yeah. It starts to get a little frustrating. A lot of women I know also have this PCOS syndrome. Several of my friends have it. And that is just, if you're having infertility issues, that's one thing. But then adding on this physical thing, it can really be a big blow to you mentally, right? Like, is this ever going to happen?
Right. It creates such a sense of doubt. I think that's been a struggle over the years was just, would it ever be possible? Not that no doctor had ever told me that it was impossible, but never seeing anything ever come up positive of any kind, you really start to doubt, like, why would I never see anything? Why, if this is such a huge desire of mine, why is this impossible for me? And why am I not able to do what I want to do and what my body wants to do and has wanted forever? If it were up to me and it was my plan, what I had planned was that we would have 4 kids before I was 30 years old. And I would be done by the time I was 30 because I wanted to be a young mom. Like I said, I was already planning my grandchildren. So that was my plan. But God has clearly had a different plan for us.
So take us down this road. You find out you have PCOS, really mental blow. You had just a couple more physical setbacks because of the PCOS. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, I had. We had gotten to a point where there was a doctor in our area that was starting to see. He was a fertility doctor, and he was starting to see patients under the PCOS label. And so insurance companies were covering at least the initial steps of the fertility kind of discovery process under the PCOS label. And so I went to him, and I met with him, and I had been to my regular doctor, my OBGYN, everything, and everything had been fine. But when I went to him just a little bit later, all of a sudden, all these tests started coming back. Everything was fine except for one test, really. Mm. And that was a test that showed that I had precancerous cells in my uterus. And so he kind of put all brakes on everything moving forward until we could get that result. Mm. And that really set off about another 3 to 4 years at least of biopsies every 3 months and different procedures and every 6 months or more and lots more medications and hormones and it actually was kind of the pushing point. I actually also carry the breast cancer gene, and so for me that had been a concern as far as treating how to treat the precancerous cells was putting some other parts of my health at risk. And so as we talked more with our doctors and my husband and I talked more and we prayed more about it, just felt like to preserve our fertility and preserve our chances of having children, the best choice for us at that point was to go ahead and have a double mastectomy and reconstruction. And so went through that process and that procedure as well, just to, again, preserve our opportunity to try to have a child.
So this is setback after, I know, yeah. Lisa, I know this is preaching to someone today, setback after year and you, yeah. You and Chad have been married how many years now?
It'll be 15 in June.
15 years in June and 15 years. And, you know, there is still no Holmesley children. Nope. and, you know, that's really, really difficult. And I know as one of your best buddies, you know, Eddie and I have really, walked by you. We have prayed all through these things you were talking about. We have prayed for you. We've stood in the gap and, you know, supported and, but here we have had Jude. After we met you, now we have two more. So when we met you, we just have one kid. Now we've got 74 kids running around everywhere. But I know it has been challenging for you. There has been several challenges that have come with as much as you guys are still in the process. We're going to talk about that here at the last part of the show. Talk to me about a couple of the challenges that come along with, because so many women and couples out there struggle with this infertility thing. Mm-hmm. What is one of those days where you're like, oh, I just, what in the world? And I can't do this anymore. Everything kind of crashes down. Yeah. Can you give me an example of a day like that for you?
I think I can come up with a couple. Well, one of them is more of a general one. And it's every time that friend or that family member comes to you and tells you that they're pregnant. Mm. And there's joy for them. There's absolute joy for them. And you do feel happiness and there is a blessing in that, and you do feel joy, and you don't want to take away anything from them or their story, but every time that somebody comes and tells you that they're pregnant, it is, or that they just adopted a baby, it is the absolute reminder and that twinge of pain and that tension that's something that you don't have yet. And I will say, for years there was times where people avoided telling me that they were pregnant. Not because of anything I had done. They were concerned for me, and they were concerned for my, they knew the struggle that we were going through. My husband and I have been somewhat open with our friends and are fairly open with our friends and family about our struggle. And I think that was just always a concern. Even my own sister, I think at one point was concerned to tell me that they were pregnant with their third little guy. And
that is a hard thing, as one of your buddies, even when we were getting Moses and Haven, of course we didn't hold back to calling you, but no. It was one of those things where They've waited so long. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
What is some advice to people out there that you can just practically give our audience to those that that are sort of dealing with this infertility thing? Those that are maybe buddies of them, like when they get pregnant and they're like, oh, we want to call them. What would be your advice to just people around that you know are struggling with infertility? How should they put it, to their friends that are struggling?
I think the biggest thing that I can say is that you have to acknowledge the struggle is really hard. Mm. You have to be real with yourself and with other people that it is a struggle. You can't hold back out of shame or fear from anything that you know. I think for years I felt like I had done something that God was punishing me, and that was why we were having struggles with infertility. And so I was afraid to say something because I was afraid that people would, you know, figure something out, or I don't know. I had this idea in my head. But to understand that no one can tell you the right way to feel or the wrong way to feel, you have to figure that out with God yourself. I think there were years where I went through just that struggle with my prayer life with God, of wrestling with Him over, you know, my sadness, my sorrow, my anger, my frustration. I think there was just sometimes there was even just a void of feelings. I didn't know how to feel. I think right now I can talk about it much more openly and with a lot more joy, but there was a season in my life where it was really dark, and I couldn't even go to church. My husband hated Mother's Day. We both have amazing moms. We love celebrating our moms on Mother's Day. We still do. But there was a season of our life where going to church on Mother's Day was the worst thing that you could ask for me. And because as sensitive as churches tried to be, and they've gotten a lot better over the years at acknowledging that Mother's Day isn't a celebration for everyone, that for those that have lost their mother, for those that have a really struggle or a painful relationship with their mother, a broken relationship, or those that haven't become mothers yet, that it is an extremely painful reminder of something that's broken. But to say that even in that, that what God has brought us through, God is still good and God is still faithful. But I had to wrestle through that with God and pray. I mean, sometimes tears just streaming down my face, that ugly cry that you get when you sometimes can't even speak because you're such a loss with the emotion. But God really worked it through with me. He showed me, there were several stories in the Bible that God showed me through the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they're about to go into the fiery furnace, and you know, they basically tell the king, you know, if God can save us, He will. If God will save us, He will save us. But even if He doesn't, He's still God.
Yes.
And you know, and then I thought there was the story of Esther, and she's about to go before the king, and even though that's her husband at that time, if she wasn't invited, you know, she could have been killed for just appearing before him. But she came to the point where she said, if I perish, I perish.
Yeah.
But she still was willing to go. And even though I wasn't facing death, for me, I had to grieve the idea and go through the grieving and the mourning process of the idea that I might never become a mom. And that might never be my place here on this earth, a physical mom. I might not have children of my own. I had to process that and grieve through that. But through that, God showed me He was still good. And even if that never happened for us, He was still faithful. He still loved me. He still had huge desires for my life, and that I could be not a weapon, but a tool in His armory to help someone else. Mm-hmm. And I will say that God has given us opportunity after opportunity to be both my husband and I to be parents to our nieces and nephews, to other children around us. He has allowed us relationships in our lives with other friends, with college students that we work with as a part of Blush, the Blush Network, that we get to have kind of like that maternal, like you were talking about earlier, that maternal role where I get to give counsel and wisdom that a mom might give when, you know, maybe that college girl is struggling because she hasn't talked to her mom in 2 weeks, or maybe she doesn't feel like she can talk to her mom about it, but she can talk to me, and I can try to give that loving wisdom that God has shown me through our pain and our struggle.
You just said a mouthful. I didn't want to stop you because it was so good. But you know, you're talking through here Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and here they go and they stand before the fire. And this is I think this is so key for women, and I'm so glad you're on the show because you get it. You understand, and I know right now people are saying, yeah, that's how I feel right now. but a lot of times this, especially with women, you know, this is, you know, you look around and everyone's got babies everywhere, and, you know, for someone that struggles with it, it's why not me? Why not me? And you said earlier, I felt like God was mad at me for maybe mistakes you had made in your past or, you know, whatever. But really, God was and still is providing you an opportunity to minister where clearly right now he is getting the glory for what you're doing. But you said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Mm-hmm. You know, walked and walked up and, you know, of course they were given the choice, you know, bow down or die.
Right.
And they said, you know, God has the power to rescue us from this furnace. But even if he does not. God is still good and he is still God, even if he does not. And Lisa, what would you say to that woman out there that maybe because of this situation, she's like you, she's a mama. Her heart is desperate to have children that bear her last name. She's desperate. She's maybe even emotional right now. What would you say to that woman that hasn't turned in that direction, that doesn't have the perspective of, but even if you don't, Lord, you're still good. Maybe that woman is thinking, God's not good.
Right.
I can't trust him. I don't want to trust him with this because it's too precious. It's too painful and he hasn't provided. And I've waited and I've waited and I've waited and I give up on God. What would be your advice to that woman that is just done, because of this one specific issue?
Yeah. I think I can say that I've been there. I've been in that very dark place where you don't want to take it to God because you're so afraid that he's not going to give you the desire of your heart. And I think I had convinced myself that God, I had gotten to a place where I'd convinced myself God didn't want that for me. And that God didn't want me to be a mom. And I didn't understand because I knew he had put that huge desire in my life. And I didn't understand why he would put that desire in my life but not fulfill it. And so I kind of started to think all these other thoughts that God didn't want for me. And God was mad at me and he was upset. And I would say to you, if you are struggling with that right now, the biggest thing that you can do is to push into who God is. Find out who he is. I had to go searching, and I didn't expect to find it in the Bible studies that I was reading. I mean, I didn't expect to find it in the book of Daniel, you know, that Bible study, or even the story of Esther about fertility stuff, because I had read those stories before, and there was never any mention of that. However, God showed me through those stories and through other parts of the Bible. I mean, in John 10:10, he says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and life to the fullest.
Amen.
And reading that, remembering that God didn't come to take away that from me. God didn't come to do that. He came so that I would have life and life to the fullest. And that means that even in the struggle of my infertility, I can have life to the fullest. And I can have the desires of being a mom, I can have that in other things in my life. And that God can use me regardless of my infertility. And that, infertility is a huge struggle. And there is shame because I think this world and our culture, everything about it, and it's part of how we were designed in some ways to be a mom and to be fruitful and multiply. But at the same time, there are things that we are sometimes called to in our life that we will struggle with. And we have to process through and we have to learn, how does God want to use me through this?
So good. We only have a little bit of time left. I want to, where are you now? It's been 15 years. You're obviously clinging to the Lord, which is, you just gave such a good word. We're walking into Mother's Day here in a couple days. Where are you now? What are you doing with this situation? And what is your outlook for the future?
Sure. I think, so right now, my husband and I have been we're back at the point where we're with a fertility doctor. We have been cleared all health-wise other than that. So about 6 months ago, we started doing different processes to try to get pregnant again. About a month ago, we had our first ever positive of any kind. We found out cautiously that we were pregnant, and we actually were headed to go be with our family, with both of our families for a short period of time. And, and got to share that with them and experience the joy of celebrating the fact that after almost 15 years of marriage that we were finally pregnant. However, we knew it was cautious. We knew that probably the life would not sustain, and it didn't. And I don't want to take away anything from any woman who's ever experienced a miscarriage, because I've seen firsthand from my family and friends how difficult and how emotionally raw that can be. But for us, we were sad that it was a no. But for us, it was a sign of God's faithfulness to us. I have never had a positive anything. Not a positive ovulation, not a positive pregnancy, nothing. And for us to get a positive in this was huge. And my husband and I celebrated and found so much joy, and God just felt like it was a sign of God's faithfulness to us to have that. So we are currently not pregnant yet. So we're still in that trial. We're still in that struggle. But we're still actively pursuing trying to get pregnant and seeing what the doctors can do to help with that. You guys
have not given up. You have not given up. And I think that is so amazing. You've clung to God's faithfulness. You have not given up. I'm going to have to stop you there just because of time, Lisa. But thank you so much for being on the show. I know you've encouraged so many women out there. And thank you for listening out there. We will catch you next time on the Autumn Mile Show.